Well, I'm excited about this month, and I was just praying, and I want you to be in prayer as well, that throughout this month, as we talk about the Holy Spirit, that we will just become more aware of His presence in our lives, in the earth, just of what He's speaking to us and how He reveals Himself to us and through the Word. I want to challenge you. I'm not going to preach tonight unless the Holy Spirit changes it right now. I'm not going to speak tonight about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, about being baptized in the Holy Spirit, because that's just not where I felt led. But I do want you, if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues and you are a Christian, I want to challenge you to begin researching the Bible for that, about it, for yourself. I'm sure that we will preach about it this month, but sometimes it's good. The Bible says we learn line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. And how many of you know sometimes it takes more than once to hear something for us to really get an understanding of it. And so I just want to challenge you. Jesus felt like it was so important for the disciples. Now in John 20, 22, before He ascended, He said to them, the Bible says He breathed on them and He said, "Receive you the Holy Spirit." I believe that was the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that we all receive when we are believers. So I want to go ahead and say from the get-go that this message is for you if you're a believer. You know, even if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues, then it doesn't mean that these things don't apply to you. Because when we are saved, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit that lives within us, the Bible says. And so these things that we're going to look at tonight, those are promises that we have. But Jesus, after that, He said to them, "Wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father." So if just Him breathing on them and them receiving the Holy Spirit would have been enough, then He wouldn't have told them they needed to wait for the experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so we see, even with Jesus talking to His disciples, that there were two experiences with the Holy Spirit. And like Rick said this morning, I think as Christians, it's important that we want whatever God has for us. And I think that sometimes the baptism of the Holy Spirit becomes this kind of this thing that is weird, and people are like, "I don't want to be one of those weird people that speaks out in tongues." And, you know, it's not weird. It is a gift from the Holy Spirit, from Jesus, that He gives us. It is, and the Bible says that Jesus is the one who baptizes. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist said, "There is one coming after me. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire." So just the way that you see someone, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Kenny was baptized in water. Just the way as Rick was the one standing up there and dipped him in the water and he was baptized. Jesus is the one who baptizes us, who we are filled to overflowing with the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what Matthew 3 says. And so I just want you to begin thinking about that and just allowing God to just begin to stir your heart and cause you to become, you know, to become hungry, to just learn more about Him, the Holy Spirit, and what it says in the Scripture. Like I said, you can research it for yourself. If you want scriptures, we can give you scriptures. You can Google, you know, you can look it up if you're that kind of person and you just want to do it yourself. There is lots of resources out there. So I just want to challenge you with that. So the message tonight comes from the Bible reading that we've been doing this week. In Isaiah chapter 49, so we're going to start with verses 9 and 10. This is a scripture that, I don't even know. It's been years and years and years that God spoke these scriptures to me, and that they really just became alive to me. And I just want to challenge you. I feel like I was probably a teenager when the Lord just kind of enlightened these scriptures to me, and they really meant something to me. And it's really neat how, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, when we really open ourselves up and we begin to really seek God and search for Him, God will begin to reveal Himself to us. And like, I go back to scriptures that God spoke to me as a teenager. I mean, and they're powerful. And I have things that I highlighted. And I remember even now, I would, you know, read a chapter. There might be two scriptures in that chapter that really felt like they applied to me, you know, that day when I was reading. That's okay. You know, all of the Bible applies to us, and it is all given for our instruction, for our correction, for all of those things. But But when I read a chapter, typically God doesn't enlighten or, you know, breathe on or whatever every scripture. And so when God opens, you know, if you read a psalm and you're like, I don't really feel like I want to call down fire on my enemies like David was, you know, but this scripture, God, search my heart. God, I want you to do that. Then highlight those things and let God speak to you through that. And, you know, if you're a teenager, don't discount that because you're a child or a teenager. God speaks to you now and he can enlighten those things to you now and continue to speak to you in those things. So Isaiah 41, 9 and 10. It says, you whom I have taken from the ends of the earth and called from his father's regions and said to you, and this was the part that spoke to me, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not cast you away. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Okay, now you'll be seated. So tonight we're going to look at, I felt like the Holy Spirit just wants us to look at three things of how the Holy Spirit strengthens, helps, and upholds us. Because that's what God's promise was here, is that he would strengthen us, that he would help us, and that he would uphold us. And so we're going to look at how the Holy Spirit does that in our lives, because we have his presence to do just that. If you put up the first slide, we have the presence of the Holy Spirit to do those things. Now, strengthen means to be alert, physically on foot, mentally encouraged, to confirm, to be courageous or of good courage, steadfastly minded, strong, stronger, established, to fortify, to harden, to increase, all of these things, to make strong. And so there are three things, and this is my first point, three things that I want us to learn about how the Holy Spirit strengthens us. So the first verse is Ephesians 3:16. And I think it's on a slide. You can just go to the next slide. Okay. Number one, the Holy Spirit strengthens us from the inside. Now, obviously, because I am baptized in the Holy Spirit, I would love if that would mean I would just have instant, you know, muscles and, you know, I wouldn't have to work out, which I really don't. But, you know, I would love it if that would just happen on the outside. But we know it's talking about he strengthens us in the inner man, on the inside. Now, Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you, of course, this is Paul, the Holy Spirit is speaking through Paul to the church at Ephesus, and also to us, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might. That word might means miraculous power, or a miracle, or abundance by his Spirit in the inner man. So it happens by the presence of the Holy Spirit, and it happens on the inside. Now, it's not always a feeling that we have. If there's one thing that we've talked about lately and something that we continually need to remind ourselves as Christians, it's that Christianity is not a feeling. And the things that we learn and the ways that we grow and the things that God does in our lives as Christians are not feelings. Now, sometimes they involve feelings. Often when God gives me a word for somebody, I will be fine. And if you know me, I'm not really an emotional person. Like, I didn't cry watching movies for until I had children, and then something about that just changed, and now I'm a crybaby when I watch things. But, you know, I'm not necessarily an emotional person, but I will start to speak to somebody something that God speaks to me, and I'll start to cry. Like, I mean, because it's something happens on the inside. And as I am speaking out his word, the tears start to come. Now, there are other times that I will be worshiping up here and I don't feel any more spiritual than anybody else. You know, I am fighting to keep my mind focused. Am I playing the right chords? Am I singing the right notes? Why is this person not here? What's going on? And, you know, in their lives, I mean, you know, all of that, to pushing that out to focus on Jesus. So it's not a feeling. It is the way God strengthens us is he strengthens our spirit on the inside. And so we don't always feel strong enough to the task he's calling to us to, or to the abuse he's asking us of us, or to the change that he wants to make in us. And sometimes when God begins to call us into change or into stepping up, often God says to us, I'm calling you up higher. And we're looking at that higher going, God, I am barely making it where I am now. I can't go up higher. But that's where we don't have to do it on our own. We need to understand the Holy Spirit strengthens us on the inside. So sometimes on the outside, we're going, I can't go there and do that. That's just not me. But it doesn't matter because we are strengthened on the inside. And what happens is if we begin to focus on the power of the Holy Spirit that's within us, then God leads us and we follow. And it's about Him, not about us. That's continually true. Okay, so He strengthens us from the inside. Part of our spiritual armor for the battle is, and this leads me to my second point, if you put up the next slide, is how much credence you give to the Word of God will determine the level of success you see in the spiritual. So in other words, if you hear this and you go, well, that's just really nice for all those other spiritual people at the church. But you take the Bible with like a grain of salt. You go, oh yeah, that's nice for you. But you don't take it, you don't research it. The Bible talks in Acts of how there was the people in Berea. It says they received what was being taught to them differently than other people. The Bible says that if we don't mix faith with what we're hearing, and so the way that you hear and the credence or the power or the acknowledgement that you give to the Word of God will determine the level of success that it has in your life. Now, the Word of God is powerful. The Bible says, I mean, it is powerful, more powerful than a double-edged sword. But if you take it and sit it on a shelf and go, that's not for me, then you can end up missing out what Jesus has for you, the same as the people in Jesus' day when He walked on the earth physically. The Bible says he couldn't do many mighty miracles in Nazareth because of their unbelief. And so if we, by unbelief, God begins to stir something in us, we get excited like God begins to speak in us and speak to us and tell us how He's going to change us and what He's going to do in our lives. And we walk out and the enemy starts to say, why are you thinking things are going to change? Why do you think that you're going to be any different than you've ever been? Like, look at how you just, you know, blew it right there. See, you're not any different. Nothing has changed. And if we just listen to the lie of the enemy, then the enemy begins to discount and steal what God just spoke to us. We have to instead set our eyes, and we'll talk about this later, on what God has said and begin to believe that to be true. Listen, I am doing this in my own life. I've told y'all, I feel like God is calling me to step out more. And I am scared. I mean, I'm like, God, in church is one thing. Like at Walmart, that's hard, you know, for me. Like, you know, if you want. But I am determined rather than thinking, God, I'm not that person. Like, I'm not a Todd White type of person, if you've ever watched Todd White. Like, I'm just not like him. You know, I could do that and miss out who God is calling me to be. Or I've been talking to myself and saying, I am going to obey. I am going to, like, I am not going to let fear, you know, keep me from who God is calling me to be. I'm going to speak what God is calling me to speak. And we change our mindset by seeing who God says that we are and what He is calling us to do. And so we have to give credence to the Word of God, because Ephesians 6:17, this is the whole chapter about the armor of God and how we fight. We are in a spiritual battle. And listen, the devil won't give you a break because you're a teenager. Like, he won't go, oh, I understand, you're young. Like, I'm going to give you. No, he will attack you while you're seeking God to pull you away from God as much as he can. Children, teenagers, like, that's why we pray. That's why we press in. That's why when God begins to speak, we listen and we stand on the Word of God. Because this says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Notice how that Spirit is capitalized. The Holy Spirit is the one who enlightens the Word of God to us. The Word of God is the sword, but the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to wield it. Because it's not just, I don't just flip through my Bible when I'm in the midst of a battle. I've been in battles, you know, trying to figure out what to do with this situation with my child or this situation with my health or this situation in my finances or whatever. I don't just flip through the Bible and point at something and pull a scripture out. The Holy Spirit will speak something to me, or I'll hear something, or somebody will give me a word, or I'll read my Bible and it'll come alive. And then by that, I take that scripture and the Holy Spirit enlightens it to me. He reveals it to me, and I wield that sword in that situation, and that's how we fight. And so this comes from the Holy Spirit. So when you are in the midst of a battle and a scripture comes to your mind, don't discount it. Now, if it is a, like, if you are determined, like, I'm going to walk with God, you know, the enemy will twist things. He did that with Jesus when it came with temptation. He twists the word. But if the word encourages you to go in the way in which God is telling you, if it just feels like, man, God, like, you're like, God, is that from you? Like, I just feel such, like, you just hear something on your, in your spirit on the inside. Pay attention, because the Holy Spirit speaks to us on the inside, in the inner man. He reveals to us. And so we have to give credence in the, to the word of God, because we have a part in it. The last one of this one is, it's not by our power. It's us learning to lean on his. Zechariah 4:6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. That was the person that was being talked to. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So it's not by our might. It's not by our power. It's by his spirit. So when you feel unable to win or to fight or to change or to walk or to do whatever it is that God's telling you to do, remember, it's not by your power or by your might. It's by his spirit. And if you are a Christian, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit within you. So that's where you let the enemy know you are a liar. It is not by my power, it's by his power. And God can do anything, and he can change me, and he can help me, and he can reveal things to me, and he can walk with me. So the Holy Spirit will strengthen us. When my mom and dad lost their son, it was a very hard time, very tragic circumstances. And my mom was given a prophecy that God was going to super, is that how it was? Did they give it to you or to dad? Yeah, they gave, that lady actually gave the, she gave a word to my dad. And she told my dad, God is going to supernaturally strengthen her mom, which, you know, Lou, God is going to supernaturally strengthen her for you in this time. And we were talking about this the other day. And my mom said that when they went through the funeral, she said, it was amazing. She said, I was comforting other people. She said, it was like a supernatural strengthening that the Holy Spirit just enabled her. Now, we will not ever understand everything that we go through in this life. That's not what this message is about, because I can't explain to you what they went through and why they went through it. But I do know that God walked with them through it, and that they served the Lord through it. And because of that, there is a legacy that Janine and I were raised very differently than we would have been had they allowed bitterness and allowed the enemy to steal what God was doing in their lives. He will strengthen us, and sometimes we'll feel it, and sometimes we won't. Sometimes I can feel the Holy Spirit strengthen me as I'm saying things. Sometimes I just look back and go, wow, God, that was totally must have been you, because I couldn't have done it otherwise. So maybe we don't always feel it, so that we don't learn how to rely on feelings and we learn to rely on God. Okay, the second point is the Holy Spirit will help us. The Holy Spirit, the word help means to surround, to protect, or to aid. Now, this is the main, we're going to read like five verses from this story, but I just wanted to show you this verse because this is the main verse that I feel like the Lord wants us to get from here. Asa was the king at this time, and we're going to read kind of what was going on. But I love these stories of these amazing leaders that were in charge of these whole groups of people, and they would say things like, we don't know what to do. Because as Christians, in any situation, we don't have to be afraid to say to God and sometimes to other people, we don't know what to do. We need God in this situation. And so here it says, and Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with you to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, for we rest on you. That word rest means to support oneself. We lean on you. That is a wise thing to learn to lean on God. We rest on you. And in your name, we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Let not man prevail against you. Okay, so let's go back to verse 9 from 2 Chronicles 14. Then Zerah the Ethiopian, this was another king, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men. and 300 chariots. And he came to Marishah. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God. Now Asa had already been serving God at this point. The Bible says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And they had, you know, done, he had already broken down the idols and all of that that was going on in Israel. And so he had already done some good things. Even though he was doing good things and trying to serve God, this guy from Ethiopia comes against him with 1 million soldiers. I mean, this is a major thing. Okay, and that's when Asa cried out to the Lord his God. So he's in the battle, and then he cries out to the Lord his God and said, "Lord, it is nothing for you, are about to go into battle, to help, whether with many or with those who have no power." This made me think in 1 Samuel, I believe it's 14, Jonathan, Saul's son, went out to battle, and he said, "Lord, it doesn't matter to you whether we go against many or against few, whether we go with many or with few." And that's kind of what, and that's actually the reference for this as well in my Bible. But Jonathan's mentality was the same. If the Lord is with us, him and his armor bearer went up against 20 men. I mean, it was like one of those stories that you see, you know, where the two guys take out all 20 of them. He said going up, "God, if you're with us, like, it doesn't matter whether there's many or few." And so here we see Asa saying that, "Lord, it's nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go out against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you." I think I read that he had like 300,000 of these kind of soldiers and 200,000 of these kind of soldiers. So they were at least outnumbered in twice. I mean, they were way outnumbered in this battle. But it says, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. So it's important that we recognize that we need the Holy Spirit's help. The more that I walk with God, the more often and the more natural it is that I seek help from the Lord. I've said this lots of times before, but I used to think that the longer that you walked with God and the more you mature that you became, that like just the more knowledge that you had to be able to do the right things. I have since learned the longer that you walk with God and the closer that you get to him, the more dependent on him you become. So that it is less about, "I am powerful enough because now I have all this knowledge and all this wisdom." It is less about me. And the more that I walk with him, the more it becomes about him. And the more natural it becomes in every situation. If I need help, you know, if I'm overwhelmed just in the day, you know, "God, I need you. I need your help." If I'm overwhelmed in a spiritual situation with somebody at church, if I'm overwhelmed with something with my family, if I'm overwhelmed, you know, just because I'm tired, everything, the more that we recognize our need for him, then it comes not as strange for us to seek his help in the big situations, because we've been seeking him in everything anyway. And so I challenge you, open more and more of your life up to him. If you're dealing with a situation with a friend and there's drama and you don't know what to do, ask God. Begin to pray about those things. Begin to say to God, "God, what do you want me to do in this situation?" And as we learn to hear his voice, which is a process, let me just tell you, because we've all had those times that we ask God and there's all these voices in your head and you're like, "God, I don't know which voice is you." And that is a process where we learn to hear the voice of God. We go and ask people who are older than us in the Lord, and we let God begin to teach us how to walk with him, what he's saying to us in each situation. But dependence is a wise thing. It is not a bad thing to be needy when it comes to being needy to God, when we recognize how much we need him every day, all day. That is a wise thing. I think sometimes this is why people are closer to God when they first get saved. Because some people, when they first get saved, they realize, "God, I need you. I cannot do this without you." And then the sad thing is if people learn how to do Christianity and they learn like, okay, you know, I got to do these things and I got to say these things and I got to, you know, go to these places and, you know, and then it becomes where they separate themselves from that desperate need of God. And we get further away instead of getting closer. We should never get to the point where we think we can do Christianity apart from a desperate need for Him. And that's why sometimes God will shake things up and He will call you out of your comfort zone, because then you'll realize, oh, wait, God, I do need you. We do. We need Him every day. I know just this weekend I prayed because I knew things that I had going on in my house, you know, just we're trying to switch Eden and Jude into the same room. And I know myself that I have a tendency to just get like tunnel vision, like, and I knew that I had other more important things to do. So I said to God, God, please help me to keep first things first, to keep my priorities straight in the midst of this. That is a wise thing. When you see your own weaknesses, present them to the Lord and say, God, you know that I'm weak in this area, but I recognize my need for your help. And you recognize that you have the presence of Almighty God who will help you. But then when you hear that still small voice, say, don't do that. Like for me, that's too much. You don't need to take that on today. Like I had all of these plans. I had more things that I wanted to accomplish this weekend. But it was like the Lord was saying, that's not going to happen. You're not going to have time for that. Listen to the Holy Spirit as He begins to nudge you and speak to you. Don't say that. I know that it would be a really good comeback and that you could look really cool, but don't say it. You know, don't get involved in that gossip. I know that you want to hear what's going on, but walk away. You know, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit will begin to direct us. And we need to listen, because when He gives us instructions, we need to take them. So God gave us the presence of the Holy Spirit to dwell with us because we needed Him all the time. So just recognize it's not a bad thing. So the last thing I want to end with is uphold. That's the third thing. I don't think I have a PowerPoint for this, but it means to sustain, to obtain, to keep fast, to help, to follow close. I love this. The Holy Spirit helps us stay on course in our lives. Psalm 16, verse 5 says, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou," this is in King James, "thou maintainest my lot." Now, what that word means, that word maintain, that's the same word that means uphold. The Lord upholds my lot. Now, lot in the Old Testament, it was what they used to determine the will of God. It was what they used to decide who got what property back in the Old Testament when they were dividing the land. It was what they used to decide whether or not they should go to battle. It was a stone, two stones that they would use, and they would cast lots, different ways that they cast lots, but they would cast lots, and those stones would show them the will of God. They didn't have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit all the time, like we do. And so that was how God spoke to them often. But here, what I want to say, in fact, actually the word, the Hebrew word lot, it means a pebble, small stones being used for that purpose. It also means a portion or a destiny, as if determined by lot. So here it's like David was saying, the Lord upholds or maintains his destiny or his inheritance. But what's neat is that the Lord was his inheritance, because it says that at the beginning, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. And then you uphold, you maintain my destiny, my portion, the inheritance that you're giving me, you maintain it. That's really neat to me because, you know, I believe this is probably where the term "that's my lot in life," and that's usually in a negative connotation. You know, that's my lot in life, you know, to work this job or to deal with these people or, you know, whatever it is. But when we understand our lot in life comes from God and He will uphold it if we will walk with Him. And so Psalm 16, verses 7 and 8, I just want to finish with that in Psalm 16. It says, "I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons." The Holy Spirit will speak to our heart. I was telling somebody this past week, or a couple of weeks ago, actually. If you are praying, really seeking God about a situation, asking God, God, I need your wisdom, like James 1:5 says, you said that if I lack wisdom, I could ask you and you would give it to me. If you wake up in the morning with a thought, just immediately, pay attention to whatever that is. Because often God is speaking in those times. Our mind is not full of other things. So just pay attention to that. I'm not saying I don't know what your thought might be in that day, but I'm saying present that to the Lord and pay attention when that happens, because often the Holy Spirit speaks to us and he instructs us in the night seasons, sometimes through dreams. Jenny and I have been talking about that lately, but that's another story. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That word moved means to be out of course. We can, as Christians, stay the course. We can walk with God. We don't have to turn to the right or to the left. I used to be so frustrated as a youth pastor because I felt like so many people had the idea, well, of course my kid is going to walk away from God. They're going to go sow their wild oats. They're going to do all of this other nonsense, and then they're going to come back later. You know, we don't have to do that. We can stay the course and walk with God, and we will have less regrets if we do that, if we stay the course and walk with him. Now, if you strayed and came back, thank God he is merciful. So don't let the enemy condemn you. God has brought you back and has a plan and a purpose for your life and is using you now and has a desire to do that. But if you have not walked away, then don't. The grass is not greener. The devil will tell you that it is, but I promise you it's not. So he helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us stay on course. The way that he does that is by convicting us of sin, of showing us the right way to go, and of revealing truth. I want to end with 2 Timothy verse 1, or chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12 says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." When we commit things, ourselves, our life, our dreams to him, he is able to keep it. So sometimes it is so scary because we're so aware of our own weaknesses, and it's so scary that I'm going to miss it. I'm going to get way over here. If you will walk with the Lord every day, he will show you if you start to veer. And you can get right back on course immediately. So he will help us. Verse 13, though, says, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus." Verse 14, "That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." So I just want to finish up by saying the Holy Spirit is the one who helps us to keep that which God has spoken to us. The Holy Spirit will bring things back to our mind. He will cause people sometimes to remind us of things that God has said that we've forgotten. But we need to hold fast to those things. We need to write down what God says to us and pay attention to it. So I challenge you this week. Ask the Holy Spirit, "Holy Spirit, help me to be more aware of you. Help me to recognize you when you're speaking to me." So, Father, we just thank you for your word. God, we pray as a group, God, that you would help us, Lord, to just be more aware of you. Help us, Holy Spirit, to recognize your conviction, your direction, when you are nudging us to stay on course, when you are strengthening us, when you are speaking to us. Help us to recognize your voice and help us to follow you, we pray. And we thank you that you strengthen us, that you help us, and that you uphold us to keep us on course. In Jesus' name, amen.